The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
I want to switch gears up a little bit here as we get set to chat with Dr. Isaiah, a general practitioner, as we continue our discussion here on deleting dengue. Doc, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Now, the situation with dengue fever in this country is one that the government, so far, it cannot be deemed what is called an outbreak or what? I forget the next term. Let's talk a little bit of how important it is for us to pay attention and recognize the severity and seriousness of dengue fever, of dengue, the virus.
Okay. Right. So, good afternoon again to Trinidad and Tobago. As said before, my name is Dr. Matamoro. I'm a general practitioner attached to the 24/7 Doctors Corner in Charleville. Mm-hmm. Dengue virus, while generally most people who do contract the dengue fever would have mild symptoms, they are those that go on to have very severe symptoms, and it can become life-threatening. So far, we have had at least 5 laboratory-confirmed cases of dengue deaths reported. In the country. So I think it's something that we need to take seriously, not only ourselves, but watch out for our neighbor's keeper as well, because our actions or our inactions as well will directly affect those around us in our immediate surroundings.
Now, I like the way you put it, but as you mentioned that, I want you to help us to appreciate yet again what we can do on our own outside of the remit of the government doing what they have to do and your neighbors. What about you personally? What sort of, what can we do to prevent ourselves from this dreaded disease?
Right. So basically, the dengue virus is spread by the Aedes aegypti mosquito. And therefore, if we want to decrease transmission of the dengue virus, then we need to get rid of the mosquitoes and the breeding sites of the mosquitoes. Now, a big misconception in the country is that, you know, the river behind my house or the pond behind my house is the problem, and really and truly, it is the small collections of clean water in our immediate yards and setting, in the tires that we have in our backyards, in the buckets that we leave open, in the plant pots that we don't change the water in. Those are the ideal spaces for these mosquitoes to lay their eggs and for their larvae to hatch and then eventually become adult mosquitoes. So that is a big misconception. So it comes down to a lot of personal responsibility. So that is one, source reduction of the breeding sites. Two, you want to then avoid become bitten by the mosquito. So you look at mosquito nets at home, you look at insect repellents, and avoiding becoming bitten as well.
Let me ask you a question. When one gets bitten by the Aedes aegypti mosquito, is it that they are that once that mosquito bites you or penetrates your skin, is it that you are, that's it, you're sure to get dengue?
Well, we're not sure to get dengue, right? And some people will contract the virus and be very mildly symptomatic, and they may not know that they are dengue positive. Mm-hmm. Because most people who do contract dengue virus only have mild symptoms.
Okay. What are some of the symptoms one can look forward to or look out for in contracting dengue fever?
Right. So some of the symptoms that people need to look out for and be aware of is, one, high fevers, body pains, joint pains, headaches, pain behind the eyes, nausea, vomiting, and in some cases, you can even get instances of abdominal pain and diarrhea as well.
All right. Now, let us say your spouse have it, or somebody in the family has it. It's not something that can be contracted by you passing it on. It has to be through the Aedes aegypti mosquito. Yes.
Yes, it has. It can be spread directly from person to person. But, however, So let us say your, as you said, a spouse is dengue positive. That person could then infect an uninfected mosquito. So let us say an Aedes aegypti mosquito that doesn't have the virus bites that person, that mosquito could then become infected. It will not immediately spread the virus because it takes a few days for the virus to replicate and stuff in the gut of the mosquito before that mosquito becomes infectious.
Oh. Okay. All right, I didn't know that. I thought, okay, cool, that's good information. Now, let's examine what one can do if they do experience these symptoms of nausea, vomiting, aches and pains, severe high fever, headaches behind the eyes and these kind of pains. What can they take? You know, everybody is a bush doctor and, you know, Gil, I tried this. Boy, you could use this. This working real good. What is the advice of you as a doctor?
So my first advice, if you do experience these signs and symptoms, would be one, to seek medical attention. Let your family doctor, your general practitioner know what these signs and symptoms that you are experiencing so that you can get tested, so that we know exactly what are we treating. Because when it comes to dengue, there are certain medications that we need to avoid taking. So as I mentioned before, as I mentioned before, there is no definitive cure. So when it comes to dengue, the treatment is supportive. One, most important, is your hydration. You need to intake a lot of liquids, a lot of water or rehydration salts. In our local setting, people even use coconut water and those stuff. So you need to keep well hydrated, that's one. Two, you need to keep regularly the temperature. So you want to try and break the fever with the use of Panadol or paracetamol and avoid the use of any NSAIDs such as ibuprofen, aspirin, all those medications that contain NSAIDs have to be avoided because you want to do not want to increase the risk of bleeding taking place.
Ah, interesting. You know, because a lot of persons, you know, they believe because this medicine worked for me, it should work for you. So they want to tell you what to take. And I mean, how safe is secondhand information like that coming from persons who are not from the medical fraternity or in the medical field? What is your advice to citizens listening now and listening to other persons? What is your advice?
My advice? Well, most definitely is to get your information, especially when it comes to information regarding your health, from trusted medical sources. Mm-hmm. It thinks you can have severe consequences of taking the wrong medication when it comes to dengue, right? As I said before, there are certain medications that you definitely need to avoid taking, and you need to be aware of them. And in order for you to be aware of, I need to avoid taking these medications, then you must be aware of what is your status. Are you dengue positive or are you dengue negative? Do you just have the simple flu or not? And that, I think that's where it needs to start. So definitely a visit to your doctor, to your nearest local health center, or to your general practitioner is necessary to initiate the treatment.
I mean, persons, you know, just a few months ago, we would have, a couple of years back, the symptoms for COVID was, you know, runny nose, this, that, they were telling you. So the slightest person that in front of you, or around you, or even cough, you're watching it as a COVID. That person had COVID. As somebody cough or sneeze, it's like you couldn't sneeze anymore. You know, you couldn't have allergies, you know. You couldn't be boiling egg and spray some black pepper and, you know, the particles get into your nostrils and you take a sneeze. Them thing couldn't happen to you no more because everything was deemed to be COVID-19 by citizens. Now, when it comes to dengue, is it that from the time you start to feel a little warm, that means or your temperature is a little up, a little inflated or whatever the case is, that you have to get to seek medical attention?
Well, I wouldn't say from the time that you start to experience the fever, but if the fever persists for a few days, let's say for more than 3 to 4 days, right, you should definitely seek medical attention if you are having high fevers for at least 5 days, together with the severe abdominal pain, headaches. And then there are people who you should seek medical attention one time if you see any CBA signs. So the severe signs that we look out for, what we call the red flag signs, mm-hmm. like if you have persistent nausea and vomiting, persistent abdominal pain, any sign of bleeding from anywhere, any bleeding from the gums, any bleeding in the stool, any blood in the urine, mm-hmm. any easy bruising of the skin, or any signs of you feeling extremely weak, lethargic, any confusion, as in you're not aware of your surroundings and stuff, then those are what we call red flag signs where you need to seek medical attention immediately.
Right, great. I wanted to get that because I want persons to understand that, you know, don't go and flood the health centers thinking that you have dengue. There are strategic signs and that you must look out for in the symptoms that will guide you as to whether or not, you know what, this seems to feel this way. Let me go and get myself tested and know my position so that I can be treated accordingly. Is there any other information at this time that you wish to bestow upon our listeners that, you know, you think is very relevant to them when it relates to dengue and deleting this virus? Like, for example,
so as I mentioned before.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, right. The types of clothing that people must wear, if you're living in areas, you know, these grassy areas, because let's say you can't, in all honesty, clear every nook and cranny of where clean water can settle around your home. You may try, but water is water. A little drizzle, a little rain comes up, pours down there, and water settles somewhere that you didn't, you know. Sometimes behind your homes, outside of the remit of your control, a bottle cap, some old jug, something, and mosquitoes breeding. So we have that. I mean, to get rid of that is almost impossible. What can citizens do to protect themselves in areas, let's say, I don't mean to say anything derogatory about anybody's area, but places like Mamaral, you know, it tend to be out in the bushy areas. You know, what can persons do? What type of clothing should they wear in their homes? And how early should they close their doors that evening?
Right. So when it comes to that, you know, I agree with you that it might be difficult to regulate the external environment. Then we look at the personal protective things that you can do. One, generally long sleeve clothing, and the Aedes aegypti mosquito. Another misconception is that they do not only come out to feed at night; they feed in the day as well. So it's not only protecting yourself at night, but it's protecting yourself during the day as well. So long sleeve clothing, insect repellents, the use of mosquito nets as well in your bedrooms can all be useful in protecting yourself against being bitten. But again, that is just one way of protection. And the most efficient way of getting rid of the dengue virus is getting to the source of it, which would be the mosquito and the larvae and the eggs and stuff. So that's why it's important for us to have source reduction taking place.
Well said. And I'm very happy that you mentioned the fact that the mosquitoes are not only biting at night. Some people tend to believe that when sundown, the night shift comes out. You know, the flies hitting you during the day, and at sundown, the flies and them pulling, and the night crew come out, which is the mosquitoes. Now, I'm realizing, even at where I live, you know, I'll be out in the garage area, and, you know, we have to do a lot of cleaning, keeping the lawns clean, the bush around the house, the home clean. You know, it's a lot of work, especially with this very animated rainy season that we're having. From the time you cut your grass, within a week or two, you see it sprouting, and not just sprouting, but growing. You had to cut again. The thing is, I am recognizing, as what you said, and I think Trinidad and Tobago should know this, these mosquitoes, they don't work on shift. They're biting or they're injecting you throughout the length and breadth of the 24 hours that makes up a day. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, people believe if you're in an air-conditioned office, you can't get bite. Doc, refute this, please.
Yeah, so you can't be bitten at any time during the day, in any environment, that is, right? So that's why it's important to take those necessary personal preventative measures. Too often we put our health into the hands of others. Too often we put our health into the hands of government and the health sector and the health ministry, where we need to take personal responsibility for our health. And I think this is a time where the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago, while the government and the health ministry and hospitals have their part to play, and we as doctors and nurses have our part to play, the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago also have their part to play in terms of taking personal protective measures, not only for yourself, but for your community as well.
I like the way you put that, you know. So persons will do well to protect yourselves, wear long sleeve stuff. I mean, you know, the idea is, especially in this rainy season, is really to delete dengue. You know, eradicate that virus, minimize it as best as possible. And as the Dr. Isaiah said, if you are feeling these severe symptoms, and I will ask him to repeat it one final time before we conclude our interview this afternoon. Doc, if you'll permit me the time, could you just give us those symptoms again for the benefit of those that has just joined us?
Right. So the symptoms that we look for dengue would be high fevers, severe body pain, severe headaches, pain behind the eyes, right? The red flag symptoms, these are the symptoms, once you see, you immediately go to your nearest doctor, your nearest emergency department, would be the symptoms of persistent vomiting, severe abdominal pain that is not resolving, any bleeding from any part of the body, whether that be the gums, the back passage, through the nose, or any signs of confusion or severe lethargy or weakness, you seek medical attention immediately.
With immediate effect. Dr. Isaiah, I want to thank you very much for chatting with us here on Freedom 106.5 FM. I think, you know, this week has been a very great one with all the different conversations we had, and you have just concluded it briefly with us here on Freedom, giving us insight as to how we can really protect ourselves and, you know, do our part to eradicate this dreaded disease. So thank you so much, Doc. All right, have yourself a great one.
No problem.
And be safe out there. Goodbye. Yeah, man.
Same to you.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.